All right, I think it's 7 p.m., maybe a little bit past it. I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope we can all learn together, especially these subjects on the family. We're going to basically wrap it up tonight as far as the women's responsibilities or the husbands and women's responsibilities. And on Sunday, Chad will be teaching. Am I right? Is that Wednesday? Yes, okay, thanks, very good. And then Randy's going to take the following Wednesday. So I'm going to be gone for about 10 days, and hopefully we should be back Sunday the 7th. And once I get back, Lord willing, the plan is to talk about parenting for maybe 4 sessions or so. So we'll see how it goes. But very good. Tonight, I wanted to talk about one last aspect of the responsibilities of the women. You know, on Wednesday nights, I'm picking on the women, and on Sunday mornings, I'm picking on the men, if you want to see it that way, I guess. But I'm teaching, focusing on the men's responsibilities on Sundays, and tonight, I want to focus on another responsibility of the women. And that's the one on admiring, okay, admiring. So I summarize it this way: the woman responsibilities, if we want to put it one of the woman's responsibilities, of course, is admiring the husband. The other one is going to be assisting the husband. And the last one, I put it accepting, as a matter of accepting the husband's leadership. Okay, so one of them is physical, assisting. Is physical in general, and I went through some ways in which women can be of assistance to their husbands, okay? And then the one on accepting, that one is spiritual, following the leadership of the husband. We saw on Sunday that husbands should lead the home in a spiritual way, first and foremost. And then emotionally admiring, okay? And this is a word I use, and I'm going to use it interchangeably with the word respect, okay? And more specifically, the word reverence, as I'm going to point out in a few minutes. But I know admiring and reverence are not defined the same, technically, but they are in that same area, okay? Wives respect those husbands they admire, and they show their respect by admiring their husbands. So it's going to be used interchangeably tonight in that sense. Okay, but this is an emotional need. Husbands like to be respected, that's one, and especially to be admired, that's another one. And this is very, very, very important for us to think about, because this is the way God made us. Okay? And how do we know? Notice, for instance, in Ephesians 5:33. Why am I saying this word admiring or respecting? In Ephesians 5:33, in that really nice section on husband loving their wives, we see at the very end, notice in verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. If I'm not mistaken, if you're reading from the what's the other version? ASV. One of your versions might have reverence their husbands, right? And I think that's the more accurate translation, to reverence. And I'm gonna explain to you why. But before we go on, I'm gonna lead us in a word of prayer before we start this class tonight. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your many blessings and being so good to us every day, Father, and you give us so many gifts and blessings that we sometimes don't thank you enough for, Father. And we're grateful for being able to be warm when it's cold outside, Father, able to sleep without being cold, Father. That's one of the blessings we realize we have, Father, and so many others, Father, having the health, the capability to come here, the means to move around, Father, and to come prepared for tonight, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us, Father, that has made us who we are, Father, and we're so thankful forever for that sacrifice on our behalf, Father. Help us be humble. Help us have a good spirit to learn and to think about these lessons you have here in your word, Father, that we may improve in our being husbands and improve in being wives and improve in being parents, mom and dad, Father, and improve in every relationship in our families, Father. Thank you for those of us who are married or those of us who still have our parents or those who have their children, Father, and many blessings we have through our families, Father, especially when they're part of the household of faith, Father. Thank you so much, and we give you all the honor and glory and all the thanks, Father. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Okay, very good. So, Ephesians 5:33, let the wife see that she respects or reverence her husband. Notice 1 Peter 3:2. Just moving a little bit ahead on these verses. 1 Peter 3:2, notice it's going to say, when they consider your chaste conduct, and it says, accompany it with fear. Okay, that word fear also connotates a reverence. That word fear, when there's fear, there's reverence. And we're going to learn that fearing God, you're going to show how you fear God by your reverence, by your respect towards God. So we see there an element of fear or respect that should be part of the woman's attitude towards her husband. Okay? And then in that same section, and I don't want to overlook it before we move on, but that same section of 1 Peter 3, notice those who do so are compared to which character in the Bible? Notice, for instance, in verse 6, those who have this element of respect, of reverence, are compared, according to verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Notice, this is the way Sarah showed her reverence towards Abraham, by calling him Lord. Okay? Nowadays, for instance, in English you might not translate well, but, you know, in Spanish we have an informal way to address persons, and then we have a formal way to address older persons, and so on. But some wives, and this is very interesting to think about, they address their husbands with kind of the thee, thou, we would say in English. It might not be the same exact idea, but it's a respectful way. And some wives do so. And some wives, most wives that I know, they use the more informal to direct to their husband. So either way, I mean, it depends on the way you feel. Okay, I personally, when I pray, I use a respectful. It's like if I was using thee and thou in English when I address God, but I use it in the Spanish, a respectful way to address God. So we have that difference too. But that one is alive and well. You know, the thee and thou are in English are not as popular in common day language. It's more set aside for directed to God, but in Spanish it's just every day. Children must speak like that to older persons. Okay, that's the way they need to be raised. So I went to that illustration talking about Sarah, how she called him Lord to Abraham. But there's another example. For instance, if you want to go with me to 2 Samuel, now we have the other side of the coin concerning this reverence and respect. In 2 Samuel, if you remember, David, if I remember correctly, okay, I'm trying to go back as far as to set the context, but he was given a wife after he killed Goliath. Okay, you remember that wife's name? Correct, yes. Michal, yeah, right, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that's Saul's daughter, okay, was given to David. But do you know there's an instance where she basically, and in 2 Samuel 6, let me go back just a few pages so I can point you to the right text. But you know, when David went and got the Ark of the Covenant, which was in another town, in the house of Obed-Edom, and then, you know, remember how his household was blessed because the Ark was there and so on. So David went and got it, and when he comes back, because of the excitement and the joy of having retrieved back the Ark of the Covenant. You know, David gets really excited and begins to jump around and dance, and then he gets his clothes off and so on. We have a description here in 2 Samuel 6. But do you remember what was his wife's response towards that attitude? Was it a yes, she rebuked him, but what was her motive behind the rebuke? Notice, for instance, in verse 16, 2 Samuel 6, 16. Notice, now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping, and the version says here, whirling before the Lord. And then notice, this is what I want to emphasize. And she despised him in her heart. Okay? She despised him. She was, I don't know, embarrassed of him. She was, I don't know what other synonym to use, but she despised him. She disrespected him. She lost her respect, her reverence towards her husband. Okay? And then notice, if we keep moving on, David comes into the city and so on, but there comes a time when he goes into his house. Notice in verse 20, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. Notice, she came out to meet him. And instead of showing respect, showing reverence, showing her fear towards her husband, as she ought to, as we learn in Ephesians 5:33, that's a responsibility, that's a commandment. Notice this sarcastic way she addresses him. She says, how glorious was the king of Israel today? You know, she means the opposite. Okay? She says, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids and of his servants, as one of the day's fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. Okay? This is, yeah, a rebuke, like Brother Larry said, but this is spoken in a disrespectful way. There's no reverence here. And then we can keep on reading, but we see here's an attitude opposite to the one of Sarah, okay, towards Abraham. All right, so we see we have this with this example here, two examples, contrasting examples. But the truth of the matter is, like I was mentioning last week, the husband nowadays has lost his status. Okay, people don't look at husbands the same way they used to back in years before. Now, a husband is just I don't know how to describe it without being offensive, I guess, but it's just another person. His role doesn't matter. He's just one more person. And we're going to learn about this in a few minutes, but concerning respect and reverence. Okay? But because of this, because this loss of status of the modern father or husband, husbands feel like a void. There's something lacking. Because they need it. We need it. We need the respect. It's part of our emotional makeup. We like the respect. We like the admiration. And when husbands are not admired or respected or reverenced, they all they can say is, well, you don't respect me. Okay? And this is something that bothers husbands nowadays, or fathers, we can say. Okay? Because if mom won't respect that, children won't respect him either. Alright? So, there's an example there. Okay? So, when we talk about respect and reverence, and I'm going to make a point in a few minutes concerning respect, but respect and reverence are different, okay? And what husbands really need is what the Bible says in that version, reverence. Because reverence is something that can be seen. It is shown, okay? You can see it. Okay, for instance, when they were to go to the sanctuary, to the temple of the Lord, in Leviticus 19:30, if you're taking notes and want a note of this, well, Leviticus 19:30, it says that you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. That's what God said. Reverence my sanctuary. There's a way you can see reverence when you come into the sanctuary by the way you behave, the way you respect what's in the sanctuary, and do what you need to do concerning the house of the Lord. Okay? Now, do you remember, for instance, Mephibosheth back in David's days? Okay, when David came and met Mephibosheth for the first time, what was Mephibosheth's attitude towards David when he saw him? Was he disrespectful because you say, well, you killed, you got my grandfather killed or whatever, or he hated you and I hate you too because I come from Saul, I come from Jonathan, and I don't want anything to do with you. You shouldn't be the king or whatever. No, Mephibosheth was very respectful to the point that he fell on his face when he met David. And he prostrated himself before the king, or the future king, or the next king. He was going to be, he's just beginning to be the king. Okay? And then not only he prostrated himself and he fell on his face, okay? But then he said, he's your servant. Okay? You see, that's reverence. You can see it. He's not cross arms, say, yeah, I respect David. But he's showing it. Okay? He's prostrating, he's putting his face on the ground as low as he can go to make the point that he's respecting and he's showing his reverence towards David. We see that example. Also, you remember in the book of Esther, it's another example of reverence that can be seen when this man, Haman, and there was this decree to bow down before Haman, to do this, the word in English, here the King James uses is homage, do homage or bow down. Well, the king's servants, they bow down to Haman. They did this homage to Haman. Okay, they showed it. But there was someone who would not show it. By standing up and crossing his arms, he was showing that he had no reverence for that man, Haman. Do you remember who this was? Mordecai. He refused to show reverence. He said, I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to show it. Okay? How am I going to make sure they know I'm not doing reverence to Haman? I'm just not going to bow down to him. So we see this concept of reverence. So going back to Ephesians 5:33, we see here, wives should reverence their husbands. And this word reverence or respect here in Ephesians 5:33 is this word for fear. Okay? And this word just means to be in awe. Okay? To be in awe. It's not to be afraid, but to be in awe. That's admiration. That's reverence. Okay? To be in awe or to revere. Okay? That's what the word phobeo means, that word in English. Another lexicon defines it as to treat with reverential obedience. Okay? So I hope you're getting the picture here. Husbands feel they're not being respected. But the wife says, yeah, you know, I don't talk back at you. I listen to you when you speak. I'm not rude towards you. But actually, that's not what the husband is looking for. He's looking for something active, for something that can be seen in a way of showing reverence. You see, this reverence can be seen, remember. Okay? He's not just staying out of trouble with the husband or just let him have his way. But if we don't know what the word reverence is, how can we fulfill God's commandment? We need to understand what it means so that we can fulfill it. So this is very important for us to think about. So going back to 1 Peter, and I'm still there in 1 Peter 3. Notice the first two verses. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Notice, wives likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they may, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Notice, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. See, this is a commandment towards wives married to unbelieving husbands. If this is required of wives married to unbelieving husbands, now what more important it is to a wife married to a Christian husband to fulfill this commandment. Okay? And then notice, This is in reference to wives married to non-Christians, and they need to show him respect, no matter if he's a Christian or not. Because you see, the commandment is independent of the behavior of the husband. Whether the husband is a Christian or not a Christian, whether the husband is a good husband or a bad husband, the command is still there. Wives, reverence your husbands. Okay? Still there. And the same thing for the men. Husbands, love your wives. Independent of what the wife does. It's my responsibility. My commandment. Alright? So, this is very, very interesting for us to think about. So, we see here, for example, that we have a God-approved example of reverence here in Sarah, in this example. And then Sarah obeyed her husband. She showed reverence towards her husband. She called him Lord, like we mentioned, like we read. And then women are called daughters of Sarah if they do likewise. Daughters of Sarah, okay, if they have that same attitude towards their husbands. So that Sarah did good in the sight of God, and God approved of what Sarah did. So we have here a good example. And this is so contrary to what we can see in some areas of our society nowadays. Okay? No respect for the husband. In fact, not only not showing the reverence, not showing respect, even to the point of belittling him, making him little, or insulting him, calling him names and things like that, and is all the extreme against the husband. And then no wonder why a lot of marriages have issues when the woman won't show her husband his due reverence. Okay, I hope I'm making sense. I hope I'm not losing you. But see, I have here a book. It's called His Needs, Her Needs. Okay. And I had it for a little while. I haven't read it all through. But I thought about it when I was preparing, working on this lesson. I say, hey, wait a minute. It has to say something about reverence. And sure it does. There's a section here, and the author says that husbands need this admiration. And that's the way it uses it, admiration. And in a way, I like some of the points this author makes, but in another way, I'm disappointed. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay, but he makes some good points here concerning admiration. Okay, for instance, I'm just going to mention three or four points real quick. I'm not going to stop too much here. I just want to make a good point that I saw here. But it says that admiration motivates husbands. All right, correct. It also rewards the husband to see that he feels rewarded or appreciated for what he's been doing, working hard. And so on, and then he feels admirated, this admiration. Okay, very good. And there's some men who have a little self-image, and then admiration helps them believe in themselves. That's also true. That's correct. Some of the benefits of this admiration. Okay, and then the author mentions that some people who grow up with low self-esteem, they weren't admired as they were growing up. Okay, they were treated with disrespect as they were growing up. And that's also true. We can see that. Okay, and then he also mentioned that those who support and admire are going to bring the best on the men. Okay, so if a wife admires and supports her husband, he's going to help him bring the best on him. Okay, be the best man he can be. And the contrary is also true. The man belittles her husband, he's not going to be the best he can be. Okay, so it's important. All right? And then he said something here very nice that I like it. But, you know, behind every great man, there's a great woman. Well, he changes it and he says, behind every man should be an admiring wife. Very good. I like that. Okay? All right? Then he also said, never fake your admiration. The admiration should be genuine. Don't do something fake. Okay, because people can know when you're doing something fake just to do it. But here's the point I wanna let you know concerning this reverence and respect. Notice, I'm just gonna read these three, four sentences. As a husband learns to meet his wife's five most important needs, which are the ones here in the book, she finds herself responding with a natural and overflowing respect for him. You know, as long as he fulfills her needs, now she's going to respect him. Huh? But if he doesn't fulfill her needs, she won't respect him. That's what he's saying here. Let me finish. Okay? Conversely, if a man does not meet those needs, she cannot, in all honesty, express the admiration he needs from her. Let's be careful reading to this. Notice this. Therefore, her admiration depends on his ability to meet her basic marital needs. Do you see an issue with that or not? Is he accurate with what he's saying here? Okay, because as far as we just read in Ephesians 5:33, that's a commandment. Wives, reverence your husband. Okay, there's bad husbands, that's true. There's husbands who fail, sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously, to fail to meet their wife's needs. That's true. But the commandment still stands. Okay? Reverence is not something... When we think of respect, and based on this sentence, society tells you respect, you have to earn it. You have to earn it. Well, it might be the case in your work, it might be the case in school, it might be the case with your friends, your buddies, and so on, but it's not the case in marriage. Respect is a given. The day you say, I promise. The day you say, I do. Okay? It's part of it. It's part of the deal. Okay? That's what you're promising, to reverence for the rest of your life. That's why wives are promising to, or rather husbands, to love them for the rest of their lives. Okay? It's a commandment. It's not something you have to earn. So when we have this thought, well, he hasn't earned my respect, much less my reverence. He needs to earn it. Okay? But there's a few problems with that. Okay? Because who decides whether the husband is worthy of respect? Who decides? Well, the wife. Okay? I'm talking in general, in society's terms. Okay? Who's going to decide if the husband is worthy of respect or if he has earned her respect? Well, the wife. She's the one who's going to decide. By what standard? Okay? By the world's standards. By what the world says. If he meets whatever the world tells me he needs to meet for me, then I will respect him. Otherwise, I won't. Okay? You see a problem there? Where things go wrong in our society in this case? So that's some of the problems with that we can think of. And then also there's another problem, bigger problem, that a woman can respect her husband's in the world's terms. You know, the world, for instance, not talking down to him, don't yelling at him, not being disagreeable towards him, or don't talk about him in front of other people. You know, that's what the world considers a respect. But a woman could respect in that sense her husband, but never be able to do what God is requiring actually of the wife to do, which is to reverence. Am I making sense? Okay, I hope I'm not losing you. Okay, I hope I'm not losing you here. Okay, so that's an issue. Wives can be respecting their husbands by the world's standards, but still fail to meet God's standards and thinking they're doing okay when they're not. Okay, I hope that makes sense. All right, so let's keep on going. There's more examples of reverence. For instance, I have here. Do you remember what happened with Miriam and Moses? You know, there was a problem that Miriam didn't... There was a matter that Miriam was not happy about with Moses and a woman he chose. So she decided to say, well, who's Moses? Who is him? Notice, I'm in Numbers 12. If you want to take notice, I'm going to read just a couple of verses. Numbers 12, verse 2. And then, so they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through me also? Talking about Miriam and Aaron. And the Lord heard it. Okay, now, in verse 7 through 9, notice. Not so with my servant Moses. This is God speaking. He's faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. And then notice this last phrase. Why then were you not afraid? Why then did you not have reverence to speak against my servant Moses? You see, Miriam and a lack of reverence towards Moses. And like I mentioned, reverence is something that is shown. It's something that is seen. Okay, you can see it. And the Lord was able to see this lack of reverence towards Moses. Okay, this is very interesting. Now, there's another example, very beautiful example, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. In 2 Samuel 1, there's this story of this Amalekite, okay? And he comes to David, this Amalekite, he comes proud, and he comes expecting a reward, expecting praise from David. Why? Because he comes up with a story telling David that he just killed Saul, which was, in the Amalekite's eye, David's greatest enemy. And he was. He was David's greatest enemy. So he comes here respecting a reward, and then he comes to David. And then, let me make sure I read that text in 2 Samuel, because there's the word fear again. But in 2 Samuel chapter 1, and then on verse, let me begin there real quick on, notice verse 13, if you're with me. If not, I'm just going to read it out loud. But then David said to the young man, who told him? Oh, excuse me, I read wrong. Then David said to the young man who told him, where are you from? And he answered, I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite. So David said to him, how was it you were not afraid to put forward your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? How come you had not reverence towards the Lord's anointed? Did David have reverence towards Saul? Oh, all the way. Did Saul deserve David's reverence? Of course, I mean, in the world standards, no. He's trying to kill me. But David spared Saul's life how many times? At least twice that we read of in the Bible. He spared his life. Okay, out of reverence, out of this respect, okay? But reverence is the word. He showed it, okay, by staying away from killing Saul. It's something that can be seen. There's no doubt about it. You can see it by the way you talk, the way you behave, the way you address that person, and so on and so forth. Like Sarah called her husband Lord. She's showing reverence towards her husband. Okay, so the same thing going back to Ephesians 5:33. That's our text, base text. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love their own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she reverences her husband. Okay? And reverence is not something that has to be earned. That's the point. That's the point. Contrary to what the world tells us. Okay? So this is something very fundamental for us to think about. You remember Malachi 1, 6 through 8, how God says that, let me go back real quick. Malachi 1, 6 through 8, concerning also reverence. Notice, the son honors his father, and the servant his master. If them I am the father, where is my honor? Where is my reverence? And if I am the master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? Okay, I deserve this outer action that shows that you have reverence towards me. Okay, like Mephibosheth before David. So reverence is not earned, doesn't have to be earned. Okay, he has it because he's the father. That's why we owe him reverence, because he's the father. Not because he has earned it or not. Because who he is. The same thing with Moses. You would need to give him reverence. Not because what Moses had done, but because the position he's playing in God's plan. He's the leader. So he deserves due reverence. Even his sister or brother. They need to show reverence towards him. Same thing in the marriage. Why does the husband have to be reverenced? Because it comes with a position. Yes, with the position he has in the family. Not because I earn it, not because I'm so good, or I've done so many good things for my wife, because that's what God expects of wives towards husbands. Okay? Yes. Women have the capability of choosing the right person. Okay? And that's absolutely correct. Yes, I was listening to a lesson. I don't know who's the one doing the lesson on the radio, but he's speaking of this matter of being on the same page when you marry. Okay? Being a husband that is going to love you and is going to make it easy for you to respect him. Okay? And not make it hard, because you still have to do it whether it's easy or hard. Okay? But he will make it easier for you. So you choose the right mate and be in the same page. When both are Christians, you're in the same page. Okay? When one is not Christian and the other one is Christian, well, you're not going to be in the same page. And who knows for how long. Okay? I mean, there's good examples of husbands who have been converted and wives who have been converted after marriage, but there's no guarantee. Okay? So, very good point. Thank you for that. Yeah, well, you can choose before you're married. Excellent. Okay? So before we finish, how is this, the million-dollar question, how is this reverence shown? Okay, you might be wondering about it. Okay, you say, well, if you don't tell me how, then we want to know how. Okay, so I have here a list of a few items, and then once I finish this, I'll open it up for more comments. Okay, but one of the ways a wife can show her reverence, respect, admiration is by fulfilling her obligations at home. Remember Titus 2:5, the older women should teach the younger women to take care of their home, okay? To fulfill their physical responsibilities at the home, to be an assistant for the husband in whatever has to be done at home. I'm going to be honest. I've talked to some couples, and I can give you a few examples. But I met a couple who was struggling, and when the husband opened up, he said, well, I did what I did because the house, you never clean it up. It's always dirty. You never take out the trash and just don't feel comfortable there. That's what he said. I'm not justifying what he said, right? I mean, but you see the excuses, people, things that matter for men. See, men working and then the house is upside down, or the children are uncared of, and husbands look at that. Okay, so this did happen. You might know people who have been gone through that before. Okay, how else can a wife show reverence towards her husband? Well, by being in subjection, like I mentioned, by accepting the leadership of the husband, accepting the leadership of the husband. Ephesians 5:22. Through 24, which says that the husband is the head of the wife, okay, as Christ is the head of the church, okay? So the wife that says, yes, I'm going to accept my role and follow my husband's leadership, she's showing reverence. And you know something very interesting? Men, we do not have the capability to be the second in charge. I mean, we can do it. Well, we prefer not to. Women can be in second place in charge. They can. You can. God made you that way. Okay? We men, we struggle. We're the second in different things. We struggle. We want to be the number one. Women have the capability. You can be the second one in charge. You have that capability. God made you that way. Okay? You know, in Genesis 5:2, it says, Adam and Eve were called Adam. So another way a woman shows respect is by wearing her husband's name. Okay? Or in this case, we see in nowadays his last name. Okay? Another way, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, okay, 5 through 7, we speak about the qualities of love. Another way is by avoiding criticizing him. Okay? That way you show respect. There's sometimes, and I've heard examples of women in the church who respect maybe the preacher or maybe someone else, another husband, they respect him. Until they hear his wife speak bad about him, they say, wow, I didn't know this man. And they come from the wife, talking bad about her husband, okay, criticizing him in front of other people. who respect him already, if it wasn't for her criticizing him in public. Okay, that's a way a woman can reverence her husband. Okay, another way, well, parents also, especially sometimes the wife's parents will keep criticize him and hoping the daughter will play along with them. But that's not the case, and that shouldn't be the case. Why, the wife should say, well, that's my husband. Be careful what you say about him, because I love him. My allegiances on this earth are first and foremost now towards him, because he's my husband. And don't let mom criticize your husband, or your dad criticize your husband, and so on. Okay, that happens too. Okay, sometimes wives want to compete with them. Okay, that when they try to overshadow their husband. Okay, and then this is another way that women can be show reverence by not doing this, staying away from trying to compete with the men of the home. Okay. You don't need to. You have your place. You're special. You're lovable. You don't need to compete with him. There's no need. This is not a competition. It's just a matter of fulfilling responsibilities. Another way is to consider when he's present. Sometimes wife is with the kids at home, and then the husband comes after work, and then no one notices he came home. You say, oh, you are already here. I didn't saw you coming in. And then the children watching TV, and then oh, you are here. You see, you show reverence when you notice his home. Some wives wait for him at the door. Some wives make sure children come. Your dad is home. Please give him a hug. Sit with him. Ask him how his day went. Notice his home. Don't ignore him. Okay? Something as simple as that. Okay? And then another matter, when in Hebrews you read that when Moses spoke, it had to be obeyed. Okay? This tells us that when husbands speak, excuse me, and I'm going to be honest, I don't like when I'm talking to my wife and she's looking the other way and saying something to my children and I'm speaking. I know that she's capable of doing both things. Okay, I understand. I don't know how, but I believe. I believe they can do it because that's what the research says, okay? And that's what women will say. But still, I don't like it. I want the full attention. That's what I want. Okay? And I don't know if I'm wrong or if I'm being selfish or whatever, but that's the way I feel. I want full attention. And if I'm saying something, they're not paying attention to me, I just quit. I don't say anymore. I just mind my own business. And they say, what were you saying? Say, I thought you weren't listening to me. Say, yeah, I'm listening to you. I'm just telling Hosea not to kick his brother. Okay, or fight. Okay, so that's another way, by listening to him. Okay, listening to us, rather. That's the way you show reverence. So this is a very, I think, a good topic for us to think about. And I hope I wasn't too hard on wives or husbands. But I hope we will learn something tonight, and this is helpful. I should see you, Lord willing, on January, and we will go more on parenting. And there's a lot to talk about parenting. The Bible gives us a lot of teaching concerning that. So thank you for your comments. Appreciate it.